Our Father, we thank you for how we can come before you in prayer. Thank you for the open door we have to come with confidence and boldness before the throne of grace. We thank you for the prayers that have been offered to you by your people, and even as Steve led us in prayer too. And even now we are needy people. And I just want to ask that you would help Ernie, that you would encourage his soul, that you would give him relief from the pain he's experiencing, that you would allow this chemotherapy treatment to really knock and remove from him this cancer. Please encourage Kay, as she also is still recovering from knee surgery, that you give her strength to cope. And thank you for their lovely family, the way they support each other. Our Father, thank you for this new year and a new decade that we have been given. And we thank you for it and pray that you would help us even this year to live for Jesus. Help us to learn not just to receive his wonderful salvation, but to live for him and to experience the fullness of your peace and joy, your contentment. So often our lives are compromised, and we pray, Lord, you'd help us to break through and to grow and to become the people you have called us to be. Help us to do that together. We ask that even as I share those words, Lord, in prayer to you, I ask that you would use this very passage now to do that, to help us live as we ought to. And so we pray that you would bless this word to us, your wonderful holy word, and that by your Spirit you would teach us all, including me. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's the first Sunday of the year 2020, and when I say that, I can't believe it. What about you? Let me say that again. 2020? Gee, the years are going by pretty quick. What do you reckon? Doesn't it surprise you when you say that? 2020! A new year, a new decade. And you know, when I think about all those sort of things, I can't help but think, wow, we're another year closer to Jesus coming! Christ's return! How do you feel about that? We should be on our toes. You know, I love the way the Apostle Paul speaks to the Thessalonian Christians. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10, he says to them, "We are waiting for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, that is Jesus, who rescues us from the wrath to come." Wow, Paul taught the Thessalonian Christians to be waiting. Be on your toes, waiting. Maybe this year, maybe this decade, the Lord's going to return. God's people should be so thrilled with that expectation. But you know what? We're not just meant to be waiting around. No, no. We're waiting and we're meant to be working. Waiting and working. Working for God, working for Christ, working for the kingdom. That's how it should be for us. Working. And I think of these two phrases to capture what our work should be like. Seeking to save the lost. Seeking to support fellow believers. Growing in holiness. And here's a big one. Glorifying God. There it is. That's what we should be doing as we work and wait. This work we are called to do, though, have you found it's not that easy? That's because we live in a fallen world and we have a fallen, sinful nature. And let me put it to you this way. We have the fiends of the devil hounding us. So it's not an easy work. But despite the opposition and obstacles that we face, even in this new year, I praise God that we are strengthened by His Spirit so that we can have that same resolve as the Apostle Paul declared in 2 Timothy chapter 3, 7 and 8, which says, "I have fought the good fight, I have finished the course, I've kept the faith. In the future there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved His appearing." There's another reference to the return of Jesus, to all who have loved His appearing, looking forward to His coming. That's how it's meant to be. Well, this morning, on this first Sunday of 2020, I would like us to continue our sermon series through the book of Hebrews. And one of the reasons why I feel we should is because I feel that this very passage that we're up to, we looked at the beginning of December, Hebrews 10, 19 to 25, this next passage is such a great one for the start of a brand new year. We're going to see in this passage some really big things that we need to take on board in terms of living out the Christian life. And notice in verse 37, that there is a reference to Christ's return. It says, "For yet in a very little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay." Do you love that verse? He, in a very little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. I love how God's got his calendar. We've got our calendar, but he's got his calendar. And on his calendar is marked the return of my son. He never moves it. It's fixed. We don't know when it is though. He knows. But one day it's going to happen. And we are told in the New Testament that we're meant to be expecting it to be very soon. But until that time comes when Jesus returns, or until that time we die before Jesus returns, we are meant to be, if we know Jesus, we're meant to be living a certain way. And I would suggest to you the two key words that come out of this passage in Hebrews 10:26-39 are these two great words. I want you to take away these words this morning and live them out as much as you can every day of this year. Those two words are repentance and endurance. Wow. Repentance and endurance. Christians are called to be living a repentant life and to be enduring no matter what. And I want you to realise as we look at this passage that these are key things that we need to have acting in our life. And often we are not. And that's why our lives are not where they should be. We haven't been repenting of sin. We haven't been enduring. And as a result, our lives become compromised. So I want to encourage you today to live out these words. Repent. Break free of the sins that hold you back. And endure. So that you might be in a wonderful place where God can use you for his glory and honour. Well, let's begin. And we're going to look at Hebrews chapter 10. Read together verses 26 and 27. And it says there, "For if we go on sinning willfully after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a terrifying expectation of judgment and the fury of a fire which will consume the adversaries." Wow! That's a pretty full-on passage. I agree. I reckon this is probably one of the strongest passages in Hebrews, if not in the whole New Testament, where we read about sin, ongoing sin, the judgment of God, and even that word fire is used, the fury of a fire which will consume the adversaries of God. This passage, I can't help but think on a par with the one that Jesus spoke at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, which also is like that scary passage. Jesus says in Matthew 7:21-23, "Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name cast out demons and in your name perform many miracles? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness." And the reason I'm quoting you that is because see how that's connected to this passage. You are practicing lawlessness, Jesus says. In this passage, Hebrews 10, it's about sinning willfully, going on sinning willfully. And there's a really strong word that God wants to declare to us in regard to this passage. Alright, so, what is this passage in Hebrews 10 saying? That if I go on sinning willfully, that I am not saved? We've got to ask these questions. If so, I want to say to you, first of all, that I'm in real trouble. And I presume that you're in real trouble too. Because we do sin willfully. We don't just sin accidentally, we do, and neglectfully. We also, part of our sins are willful sins. We all know how we have chosen to sin even when with God's Spirit convicting us. Even when we know we shouldn't, and we still do. And we sin. So what is this passage saying? And also, just let's remember, in the book of Hebrews up to this point in time, we have seen such amazing passages about how complete our salvation is in Christ. Our sinners are saved in Christ. Haven't we seen amazing passages? We have seen awesome passages about Christ's sacrifice for us. And how we have, let's pick one verse. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 10. "We have been sanctified and saved through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all." What a great declaration. Once for all he has saved us sinners. And not only did Jesus die on the cross for us sinners, but he also rose from the dead, ascended to the throne, and is ever living to intercede for us. Like what it says in Hebrews 7:25. He is able to save forever those who draw near to God through him, since he ever lives to make intercession for them. I love those words. They bring great comfort to my soul. What about you? Because we are still sinners. So, let's ask this question when I think of Hebrews 10:26-27. Does our salvation include the forgiveness of willful sins? Think about that. Yes, it does. Wow! Yes, it does. All our sins are covered by the blood of Christ, whether they be willful or neglectful, whether they be past, present or future. That's an amazing thing! Hallelujah! So then, what is this passage in Hebrews 10 saying? Because it says, "For if we go on sinning willfully after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins." Let me make it clear to you. The Hebrew writer is speaking about people who make a confession of Christ, who call Jesus Lord, but there's something lacking in their life. What's the key thing lacking in their life? They don't repent. They go on sinning willfully. You see the difference? It's very important you pick that up. They go on sinning willfully. They sin, and they're not cut to the core. They're not gutted and feel guilty. They're not sad and ashamed. They're not broken and contrite when they sin. They just go on sinning willfully. But if you are a born-again Christian, praise God that we know something different. When we sin, even though we shouldn't sin and we might sin willfully, we can't just go on sinning. We feel so broken and contrite. Like it says in Psalm 51 of David, we feel gutted and guilty. We feel sad and ashamed. We feel horrible because we know that we have sinned against the Father who loves us. And we have sinned against Jesus who gave himself for us. This passage is speaking to people who think they're in the kingdom, who say that Jesus is Lord, like in Matthew 7, but there's no repentance in their life. So that's important for us to look at. Not only that, do you see what it says in verse 29? It says, "How much severer punishment do you think he will deserve who has trampled underfoot the Son of God and has regarded as unclean the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified and insulted the Spirit of grace?" So for the person who is not a true believer, they don't have much of a concern that when they sin, that they are trampling over Jesus and treating as unholy the blood that has cleansed us. And they insult the Spirit of grace. But if you are born again, you know something different. You know when you sin, and you might have enjoyed that sin for that moment, and then you feel so broken, and then you realize, wow, I have done such a horrible thing because Jesus shed his blood for me, and God's Spirit has been pleading with me. And you feel very different. You sure do. You know, I guess here in Hebrews chapter 10, after all those beautiful verses assuring us of our salvation being so sure in Christ, we have a warning passage about those people, even in our own midst, you may be one of them, where you are not born again yet. You do not know what it means to know Jesus. And repentance is the thing that is missing in your life. God calls us to repentance. When I read this passage, I know this work of God's Spirit in my life. I know feeling really bad when I sin. And I'm conscious of this God who I am meant to love but also fear. It says in verses 30 and 31, "For we know him who said, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay, and again the Lord will judge his people.'" It's a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God. That is, when he's judging you. But when you're on the right side, it's great to fall into the hands of the living God. So friends, what can we learn from this passage? I want today, on this brand new Sunday of a brand new year, I want you to test yourselves. Are you truly saved? Here is a key attribute that must be part of our life. And I want to stress it because I know in modern preaching today, this word has been dropped completely out. And it's the word repentance. We must repent. We must be an ongoing repentance in our life. God calls us not to be like these sort of people who go on sinning willfully. We ought to realise the magnificence of God's love for us and what Christ has done for us, and it shouldn't just be something we do where we sin, we minimise our sin, we play it down, we deny it, we blame others. No, when we sin, we ought to know the work of the Spirit where we are broken and contrite and on our knees pleading for God to forgive us. That's how it's meant to be. So are we truly saved? Is there repentance occurring in our life? That's what we need to do. And I would encourage you, if you are not saved, if you have a real tolerance and an acceptance of doing sin and not caring, that you today repent and receive Jesus fully. Bow your knee to him. And if you have done that, I pray for every brother and sister here in Christ that we, and me as well, we go on this year repenting of our sins. Let me just challenge you. What are the sins that are holding you back right now? What are the sins that you are committing? What are the thoughts and desires that are plaguing you? Pray for God to break you free. Live a life of repentance. This is what God calls us to do in the light of his love for us and what Christ has done for us. Amen. I want to read to you in the context of these words, the beautiful words. I remember learning this as a young Christian. From 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, into chapter 2, verse 1. It says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And I want to just pause and say, I'm so glad that there's no condition on those sins. That is to say, all willful, neglectful, accidental sins can be forgiven through confession. Confession means repentance and confessing. It says, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, I write these things to you that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Hallelujah. But let us be a people who practice repentance. I feel that this is something in my own life that I'm seeking to do. I'm a sinner too. And I want to encourage you to be repentant believers. Call on God, break free of anything that holds you back, that you might be set free. But the other word that God would have us hear this morning is this one that follows on. And it's found in Hebrews chapter 10, 32 to 36. And the word that we look at here is the one we would call endurance. Repentance and endurance. Let me read to you verses 32 to 36 of Hebrews 10. But remember the former days when after being enlightened, you endured a great conflict of sufferings, partly by being made a public spectacle through reproaches and tribulations, and partly by becoming sharers with those who were so treated. For you showed sympathy to the prisoners and accepted joyfully the seizure of your property, knowing that you have for yourselves a better possession and a lasting one. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised. So this passage moves on from repentance to endurance. And this also is a really key word that as believers in Christ, we need to take on board. We need to be those who not only repent, but endure. What do you think of the original hearers of this word, who the Hebrew writer was writing to? Look what they had to endure. It talks about how they endured all kinds of conflicts and sufferings, and how they were mocked and ridiculed, and how they had their properties and possessions taken from them. Wow, they really endured, didn't they? We haven't seen anything like that in our country. Imagine if that happened today, tomorrow. How would you go? Would you still be happy in the Lord? Would you be enduring? That's how it's meant to be. We're meant to be enduring. What does it mean to endure? It's not just keeping the faith privately. Oh yeah, I'm a Christian, undercover. No, it's like taking those mockings and ridicules being persecuted, supporting those who are being persecuted, which means you line yourself up with them and you could be in trouble too. It's going to visit Christians in prison. This is how it is in other countries at the moment. It's about supporting each other. It's about, it says here, what does it say here? Just find it. Joyfully, here it is, verse 34, for you showed sympathy to the prisoners and accepted joyfully the seizure of your property, knowing that you have for yourselves a better possession and a lasting one. Wow. See, friends, the picture given here in the book of Hebrews is that we are to endure. And to endure means that we keep on living out the Christian life. We keep on doing the will of God, no matter what. That's what it means to endure. It's in verse 36, for you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised. So we've got to be those who endure. You know, the Christian life is not a 100 metre dash. You know that, don't you? It's a marathon. You've got to learn that. Get into a good stride. Learn to endure. Go through the pain barrier, like in a marathon race. You know how interesting it is, you know, when you think of the sprint to a marathon race. Have you noticed, you know, when the sprint's done, bang, it happens, 10 seconds, it's all over, 9 seconds almost, you know, it's all over. The hero is the winner. Do you notice who the heroes are in a marathon race? Everyone who finishes the race. Even the last one into the stadium gets applauded. And we need to be those who endure, who are going to make it into heaven, because that's how it is. We're hanging in there. And not only is endurance doing the will of God, but endurance is keeping the faith, maintaining our faith. Jesus said in Luke chapter 18, verse 8, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Saving faith will become rarer and rarer. And we are to be those who keep the faith. We don't shrink back. Notice those words in verse 37 to 39. It says, for yet in a very little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. But my righteous one shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back to destruction, but of those who have faith to the preserving or the saving of the soul. So we are to be those who maintain faith. And you know what? As you probably know, the next chapter after this one is which one? The faith chapter. Can't wait to look into that. But Hebrews 10 is leading into Hebrews 11. And we're going to have all these wonderful examples of people who had faith, who endured. Who endured all sorts of things. They maintained their faith. And what a picture they are for us. We'd have a faith that also endures. And I've got to say to you, I know it's not in this passage here, but I know endurance is so important. Because Jesus, when speaking about the end times, says in Matthew 24:13 these words, the one who endures to the end will be saved. Wow, that's a big deal. Not only that, in the book of Revelation, to all seven churches, he calls all seven churches to be overcomers, to be endurers, so that they might receive eternal life. Wow. He even calls those who are not going too well to repent. Repentance and endurance. Even seen in those letters that were written to those churches. But you know, when I think about that, let me ask you this question. Are we saved by human effort then? You've got to endure. Is that what the Bible's saying? No! Praise God, we're saved by? Didn't hear it. Saved by? Grace! It's a gift! Saved by grace through faith. But we are called to endure. And the thing is, endurance is something that will happen to everyone who has been born again, because they have God's Spirit to help them endure. Endurance actually is the ultimate assurance that we are the saved, because we have God's Spirit constantly helping us to endure. Praise God for that. It's not up to yourself, otherwise we'd all fail. I'd fail too. We'd all fail. But we have God's Spirit helping us. And I just want to finish on a few things to encourage us all for this year, this brand new year, to be a people who please God, according to what we've read here, people who are repenting of our sin and enduring for Christ. How can we encourage ourselves to be doing that? Well, I reckon we've got to go back to our to early December when we were looking at Hebrews chapter 10, 19 to 25. The let us passage. You know, the let us passage. All right. And you remember there were three things, Bob mentioned it this morning, three things that were mentioned there. And see, all those three things are going to help us to be able to repent and endure. What things? Those three let us's. Let us draw near to God. Let us hold fast the confession of our faith. Let us consider one another to spur one another on to love and good deeds. Or in a nutshell, let us come to God. Christ has opened the way. Let us cling to Christ. He is so sure and steadfast. Let us consider one another that we might encourage one another. You see, if you practice those let us's, it's going to help you in repenting and enduring. How? Well, when you come to God, as you come to God in prayer, as you come to God reading His Word, God's Word is going to teach you about the right way to live and the wrong way to live. And God's Word and through prayer, God is going to help you to learn to repent of the things you need to repent and to endure. And if you cling to Christ, that means the Spirit of God is vibrant in you. God's Spirit's going to be helping you to repent and endure. And if you consider one another and encourage one another, you're going to be helping each other to stay on track, repenting and enduring. That's how it works. God practices the three lettuces, let us's. You say it too fast, it sounds like lettuce. All right. So isn't that important we do that? Isn't that right? Need some response. Guys, we've got to be committed to this. We've got to be committed to coming to God daily, our regular prayer time and reading the Bible. We've got to cling to Christ and we've got to consider one another. How can we encourage each other? Someone falling into sin, get alongside them and help them. Or I'm struggling. We've got to do these things. This is how we practice on a daily basis this repentance and enduring. This is what we need to do. But you know, the other thing, the other great thing in this passage is not only are we to do the let us's, but we are to look. Look where? Look to the promises. Look to what's to come. I love this passage, how it brings in here everything I need to endure. It says here, let me read again, verses 34 to 36. For you showed sympathy to the prisoners and accepted joyfully the seizure of your property, knowing that you have for yourselves a better possession and a lasting one. Look to what's ahead. Look to what's to come. 35. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a reward. No, it doesn't say reward. A great reward. Verse 36. For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised. Friends, you've got to live by faith. You've got to take on board all these amazing things that are just over the other line. We're almost there. That's how you should view your Christian life. On the other side of this life is glory and wonder. God's present forever. It's the best. That's why Paul was torn, you know. I want to go home to be with the Lord, but I've got to stay here too. And like, he knew this. And that's how it should be. And all these things are going to help us to repent, aren't they? They're going to help us to endure no matter what we have to endure. There's a lot of stuff we've got to endure more and more these days. Isn't that true? But the looking to what's ahead is going to help us to endure. And above all, we are to look to Jesus. We're to look to Him. Isn't it amazing how Hebrews 10, the last part of Hebrews 10 and 11, all these great examples of faith, it all reaches its great pinnacle in Hebrews chapter 12. And this is what it says. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders, that's repentance, and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with endurance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. This is where this section of Scripture is heading towards. Look to Jesus. Look to His great coming. Look to Him every day. And we will be enabled to repent of the sins that hold us back, that entangle us, and we will be enabled to endure even the most horrible and the most difficult situations that you might face. Oh, that God's people might be those who repent and endure for all the days of their life to the glory of God. May God help you and me in repenting and enduring until He comes or till we get called home. Father, thank You for Jesus being the mighty rock and refuge that we have come to experience in our life, and we know that You have done this by drawing us and helping us to understand and calling us and committing our life to Jesus. We thank You that Jesus is such an amazing being, Your Son and our great Saviour. And we thank You for how secure we are. We thank You that we are forgiven, even because of willful sins we commit. But thank You, Father, You've taught us not to keep on sinning willfully, but to repent, and help us to do that well. Help us to be freed of the things that hold us back. And Lord, help us to endure. Thank You that we're not saved by our efforts and our works, but we want to be those who repent and endure. Lord, help us to be a people who please You. Help us to be a people who support each other really well. Help us to be living our lives in a declining world, that we shine brighter and brighter each day. May this year, may we see in each other and in ourselves growth and Your glory being seen as we go from one degree of glory to another. Lord, help us not be stagnant. Help us not shrink back. Please, would You save us from that? We ask that You'd help us all, no matter where we're at, Lord. Even this day, we might be really struggling. Please help us. Thank You for Your grace, Your love, Your commitment to us. We can't help but say thank You so much for the great Father You are and all that You have and are and still doing for us. Thank You for Jesus, even there right now, interceding for me, a sinner, interceding to guarantee our salvation. Thank You for our great Saviour. May our eyes be upon Him. And thank You, Lord, that You're coming soon. Thank You, Jesus, that You're coming soon. Thank You that You're going to come, and what a day that will be. We thank You, Father, for all these things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.